Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. We do indeed meet again for details of another episode in the long-running saga of what is aptly known as the wake-up call, coming to you since 2005 and since 2009 from Singapore and Malaysia in Southeast Asia. It is Monday, November the 13th, 2017. The debt ceiling spectacle being played out every few years in Congress makes the entire world shake its collective head and pray that Congress will, for the umpteenth time, raise the damn thing, or at least suspend it. The other option is a US default, the global consequences of which are too ugly to imagine, even for Congress. In its infinite wisdom, Congress didn't raise the debt ceiling in September. It only suspended it through December the 8th, after which the horse trading will start all over again. But Congress is busy listening to lobbyists about the tax cuts, who gets them and who pays for them, and the debt ceiling isn't even on the back burner. So here we go again. But this spectacle has some peculiar effects beyond its entertainment value. For months on end, it covers up the true extent of US government debt and its continued surge. Then suddenly the floodgates open. Over just these 6 years, the debt has ballooned by $5.7 trillion, or 39%, from $14.8 trillion to $20.5 trillion. The last three debt ceiling fights, the long flat lines in 2013, 2015, and 2017, followed each time by an enormous spike when the debt ceiling was lifted or suspended, and when the extraordinary measures with which the Treasury keeps the government afloat were reversed. The current post-debt ceiling spike has reached $640 billion and continues to surge. The Treasury Department has to borrow to pay for expenditures that the US Congress mandates the government to spend. But with the debt ceiling, Congress says, yes, you must spend this money, but if you don't bring in enough tax revenues, ha-ha, they laugh during tax cut time, you cannot borrow the difference. You just might have to default. As absurd as the concept of a debt ceiling may seem, Congress is unlikely to do away with it. At the same time, it has always compromised and will always do so, if only at the very last moment, to avoid a default. There will be no default. Lawmakers are political animals, but they're not stupid. On November the 1st, the Treasury warned, quote, if Congress fails to increase or further suspend the debt limit by December the 8th, Treasury, as it has in the past, can take certain extraordinary measures to continue to finance the government on a temporary basis. Extraordinary measures will allow the government to continue to meet its obligations through January 2018. It is currently too early to provide a more precise forecast as to how long the extraordinary measures will last. End of quote. So the preliminary out-of-money date is January the 31st. Congress knows that this out-of-money date can be pushed out, and with a good dose of well-honed congressional brinksmanship, the flat line might extend into February or March. It will then be followed by another spike. The trend line of debt growth out the wazoo will remain intact. If the tax cuts pass, the trend line will get even steeper until it hits the next debt ceiling. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, we are going to be talking about the 2.6 million new jobs added last year and how impossible it could possibly be that the unemployment rate is 4.1%. I'm going to read another extract from Jim Kunstler, one of my favourite commentators, this time about the new Fed chairman, Jerome Powell. The 100 months of so-called recovery have culminated in no deleveraging whatsoever since 2009, although they will lie to you and tell you the contrary. Then I'm going to spend really a lot of time today, my main point, in fact, being the history of how America has handled its wars and the villainous and bullying character of the country in terms of trying to pull the rest of the world into line, which of course doesn't work, but the history is very, very interesting. So there you have it. We will have a nice show. It is, of course, Monday, and so I hope that you will have enough of a good conscience about listening to my excerpts from the show to want to donate, and I would urge you to do so by going to the donate button on the left. Please donate $70 if you could manage it, a quarter, which will be automatically taken from your credit or debit card, but you can reduce that amount if you need to, but the minimum is $35 a quarter. So until Friday, ladies and gentlemen, this is Richard Martin wishing you a wonderful week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.